now I'm doing it. The puppy dog told me, she said, do the trivia thing and lighten up because you've been too busy and too deep in thought and stuff the last couple of days. And so, yesterday Scott and I had our show on the air from 10 till to noon, and it got pretty heavy. It was pretty heavy. A lot of concern, a lot of questions that had no answers, if you know what I mean. I mean, they had answers, but, I just hit the wrong button again. What's wrong with me? Some days I don't know what the heck I'm doing, so I got to get, I hit the wrong button again. Got to turn that off and then turn this on, and hopefully I won't have the wrong thing on. All right, I think I've got it. I hope I've got it. Hang on, I may have messed up, but we'll get her done. I am recording, so I guess that's good, and you're listening, so that's great. And my puppy dogs told me how to run my show, so that's good. Let's see if I've got everything done right here. Yeah, looks like I do. Oh, nope. I hit the wrong button again. All right, there we go. All right, we're going to hope we are through with this. We have got, let me look at my silver screen here that tells me whether I'm doing the right thing or not. Apparently I am not, because I don't have the right thing on. Hang on, I'm not going to leave you. Okay, let me check here. I've got that turned on, and holy cow. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to talk right over the top of this and see if I can't figure out what the heck is going on, all right? sometimes when you have amateurs working the radio board, you get problems like this, and certainly I have the problems. All right. Okay, I don't need that. We don't need to hear you. I'll turn you off. And we're gonna try to go from here and see if we can get through the day. All right. All right. So we're gonna do some trivia questions. I hope you enjoy it. We will not get terribly heavy today. Scott's show this morning got a little heavy too, so this will give you a little bit of respite from that. All right. We will try to do. We will try to do something that's interesting and fun at the same time. All right. I guess I've vamped long enough that I have no idea where I am. So if Scott's listening, I can't get the right pot to quit talking to me, if that helps you. Okay. If you can text me and tell me what to do. All right. The first trivia question. Let's get right into this. And this one you should know the answer to, and you're welcome to call in if you would like to answer this question. Now, I will tell you, like I've done in the past, I don't look for answers to all the questions, but I will tell you when I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes to call in, and you can call in if you know the answer to this one. I will give you 3 minutes after, and it's really more like 4 minutes, but I will give you a few minutes to call in the answer to this. This one's a pretty easy question. What city did Starbucks open its first store in? What city? All right. Did Starbucks open its first store in? That's my first question. And we'll get back to the answer of that if nobody else calls in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Hey, by the way, following on the air, we will go right into Swap Shop And last week we had 3, 4, maybe 5 calls. So not all of them were to swaps up stuff, but we had several calls. And I have 3 announcements already that we're going to post today. So we've got some stuff going. We'd love to have you call in at 740-383-9944. All right. What do you call phyllo pastry stuffed with chopped nuts and honey or syrup? You know, I didn't know what phyllo pastry was until my wife and I started, out of boredom, started watching a lot of cooking shows now that the virus started. And now I know what phyllo pastry is. Well, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know what it looks like when they use it. Anyway, what you call a pastry that's a phyllo pastry that's stuffed with chopped nuts, honey, and or syrup is called baklava. Do you like baklava? I love baklava. I was given a whole box of baklava when I was working in another place at Christmas time. It didn't get home to my wife. I ate the whole thing. No wonder I'm so big. And I'm using the term big nicely. No wonder I've got a gut. All right. What is the Jewish New Year called? Now, that's a pretty famous one. I'm not going to let you call in on that. We're still holding on what is the city where Starbucks was opened. The very first Starbucks was opened in what city? But the New Year, Jewish New Year, is called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. And I have been to a celebration when I was very young. I went to a celebration of Rosh Hashanah with Lillian Gerwitz, who may be listening. Occasionally she does. Hi, Lillian, if you're listening. She lives, I think, in South Bend, Indiana, and she occasionally streams us. So anyway, she and her brother, Norman, she and her brother took me to this celebration that they had. I started my religious learning very early in life. I think we were about 6 or 7, maybe 8, somewhere around that range. Back then, I used to brag to everybody that I had 21 girlfriends. I made that up. I made that up because my brother, who was 8 years older than me, a very good-looking gentleman, my brother was, not me, he had lots of girlfriends, and I wanted to be like him. Okay, I got about another minute. What city did Starbucks open its first store in? And by the way, that was in 1971. That was, I had just recently gotten married. I got married in 69, so, and at the very end of 69. So we got married around Christmas time, December 21st. It was the only time I could get off from the Army. So that's why we got married then. All right. This one? Yeah, I'm going to give you the answer to where Starbucks was opened. Okay, you ready? Nobody called. Oh, I got a text. Thank you, Scott. I guess I'm fixed now. I'm okay. Let's see, make sure everything's still going, and it is, and apparently I can switch this pot back up. Oh, excellent. I'm good. All right. What was that? Oh, I was going to tell you where the first Starbucks store was opened in 1971, and that should have been pretty easy. Seattle, Washington. Starbucks was really famous when it first opened up. People, you know, they really loved, you should have the coffee at this place out in the northwest of the United States. They're really terrific. And it was kind of like, you remember when, what was it? Oh, not Olympia beer, Coors. When Coors would not ship over the Mississippi River. I don't know why it was, but they had rules that they couldn't ship to the East Coast. And everybody, when they would fly out to the West Coast, on the way back, they'd pick up a case of Coors, just because it was different. Kind of like Yuengling, which my son got a tasting for when he was coach at Rochester University, and he was baseball coach up there, and a lot of his baseball players loved Yuengling, and apparently Yuengling's from that area, and it worked its way down this way. You couldn't get it down here for a long time, but now you can. I don't know what the rules are about distribution of alcoholic beverages, but I do know that they have rules. As a matter of fact, my son now, the one that was the coach, baseball coach, he's now a vintner. He makes wine out in California. He's very good at it. He's won several awards. But he's told me all sorts of rules and regulations they have. Okay, we have a caller. Hello, caller. How can we help you?
Well, they used to say that you couldn't get Coors shipped because it was made like draft beer.
Oh.
And it had to be kept cold all the time.
Oh, I see. Yeah, otherwise it would go bad. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to put it in refrigerated containers, so the only way you could get it was go to the Rockies.
But you know what was strange about that? And I think I do recall them being told that. But you could buy it in the airports in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It wasn't cooled there. It was just out front.
I guess now it's made in Milwaukee also because it's Miller Coors.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it was a good beer. I don't have to drink much anymore. But
Ted, I remember so well when you
said
you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I love that commercial, or it's not a commercial, a public service announcement. I really do love that one. I'd love one of my kids to tell me, "Hey, Dad, you're the GOAT." I would love to hear that. Wouldn't you love to hear that? Anyway, I want to apologize to the caller. I am really sorry about that. I got confused because I was struggling with my electronic technology know-how, and I forgot all about us breaking away on the quarter hour. So please excuse me. If you'd like to call back in, you're more than welcome to call back in. But that was interesting. I had forgotten that Coors was supposed to stay cool. And I imagine the stacks that they had in the airport in Denver when I went through there, they probably just put them on a cart and put them back in the freezer and brought a cold one out. And they probably had rules about that. But anyway, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. You get an attaboy. All right. This one, I will give you three minutes to answer this one if you want. What book starts with the line, "Call me Ishmael"? Call me Ishmael. What book starts with a very famous book? That one is kind of a spooky book. Not that it's a mystery book, but it's kind of, it'll get you the hair on the back of your neck standing up during parts of the book. It's very long, and I have read the graphic novel of it. You know what that means. I've read the comic book that took the place of this. I think I probably also read the Cliff Notes because I think I had a course in college that I I had to give answers about that. And I'm not a good reader, as many of you have noticed, I'm sure. All right. What is the first element on the periodic table? Now, do you remember the periodic table? If you went to college, you probably do. If you were in high school, I don't think I... Maybe I did have chemistry in high school. Yeah, I guess I did. So you had to memorize what all the letters stood for. You know, O was for oxygen and N was for... What was N for? I forgot all that stuff. The first element on the periodic table was hydrogen. So H2O, water, is hydrogen and oxygen. Two parts hydrogen. But anyway, that's the first element on the periodic table. And I wonder, it doesn't tell me here why. Why they would have put hydrogen up first. It may be the largest element in our atmosphere. I'm not sure of that. Oxygen is like 20% or something. It's been a long time since I took those courses. Anyway, okay, let's continue on. The question, we're waiting for an answer. If you'd like to call 740-383-9944 and let me know what the answer is. But if you only have one phone call you can make today, make sure you make it during Swap Shop. We're looking for more people to call in on Swap Shop. I hope you have some things you'd like to get rid of or some events you'd like to talk. You know, if you have a garage sale coming up this weekend, and I wonder how that Glenview Estate garage sale went. They had a big one last Saturday, and we advertised it here, but I think it rained. I hope it did not, but I think it did. Where are we? All right. What object did Ben Franklin attach to the end of a kite string, if you don't know this, to prove that lightning is electricity? Now, my sister-in-law, who lives down the street from me, is having problems with her electricity in her garage, and I get to go down there and stand in a basement with water in it and mess with her breakers and her fuses. She has both breakers and fuses. So I'm not going to do it until the basement dries out. But anyway, I might find out a little bit more about electricity than I want to know. But Ben Franklin attached a metal key to a kite string and waited for lightning to hit it. Sounds a little bit like some of our 1940s horror movies, right? With Bela Lugosi. I love those. I loved them, but I didn't want to watch them more than once. I'm one of those people. If there's no sense for me to buy a DVD for a movie, there's just no sense, because I only watch movies once and usually don't want to watch them a second time. But even if I do want to watch them a second time, I'm not going to have that desire for at least 5-10 years, and it'll be back on TV or I'll be gone. All right. Let's see. The book that starts with the line, "Call me Ishmael," that is Moby Dick. Moby Dick. Boy, I loved what I read of the book, and I've tried to sit back down. I've often thought to myself, my father was a heavy-duty reader. He was bright enough to go to Harvard, so therefore he had to be a good reader. I was not bright enough to go to the college I did get my degree from. I don't know how I got it, but I don't know where I was going with that. I guess just to admit to you that I'm not a very bright person and not a good reader. That's for certain. I'm not a good reader. All right, where are we? Oh, this is kind of interesting. This would be a good one to ask and give you three minutes to call in. Now, I understand if you're just enjoying the day and listening to the answers, please, you don't have to feel guilty about not calling in. I have a hard enough time working the board when I don't have anything to do. But when you make a call, I've got to push this little button all the way up, and I got to reach over here and push that button in, and then I have to greet you and listen to you, and then I have to do the reverse as you leave. It gets a little confusing. So you can make my life a lot easier by not calling in, but I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Okay, this one, I'm going to give you 3 minutes if you want to call in and be the bright guy on the block here in Marion this morning. What does a Scoville unit measure? What does a Scoville unit measure? All right, and I like to have high, not terribly high Scoville units, but relatively high, if that gives you a little hint, all right? What U.S. president put a Twinkie in the country's millennium time capsule? Now, this is crazy. I asked my wife this last night. She had no idea, and she's a big fan of this particular president, and I would have thought she would have guessed this right off the bat, but she wasn't even close. She just finally said, I have no idea. All right, what president put a Twinkie? You know what a Twinkie is, right? It's that little piece of it's like a little cake with filling in the middle, vanilla filling. I used to love them. My lunch when I was at high school, at the last high school that I went to, a friend of mine, a hood, we used to call him Hoods. He was a hood. I was one of those people that could go between hoods and brainiacs, and I kind of floated. But my hood friend would take me, we would sneak off campus, which you weren't supposed to do, sneak off campus probably about twice a week at lunchtime, and run over to this little tiny mom-pa grocery store that was about two blocks away, and we would have a Coke and two Twinkies. Back then they came, I think they came packaged in twos. I think that's true. Anyway, we rebels. Anyway, the president that put the Twinkie in the Millennium Time Capsule was Bill Clinton. He had a whimsical side, apparently. Hang on just a second. I've got to look at somebody's texting me something. Okay, the person answered the question that we already had answered. I'm sorry. All right, let's get back to the questions at hand. My little puppy dog, she liked that one. She liked Bill Clinton put the Twinkie in the Millennium Time Capsule. Wonder what it's going to be like when they dig it up. You know, from what I understand, it may be just as good as it was when they put it in. With all the preservatives? I don't know. That may be a little overstated. Well, this one is too simple, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is an ice hockey puck made from? And do they really freeze them? I guess they do. They freeze them before they use them. Maybe that allows them to glide better on the ice. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that they do keep them in refrigerators before they use them. Now, call me if I'm totally ignorant on that. If I'm wrong on that, I'd like to know that, because I don't want to go through life telling my children that hockey pucks are put in the freezer before they use them. Have you ever played ice hockey outside on a pond? I found, and I used to skate quite a bit. South Bend, Indiana had an outdoor ice skating rink. It was an artificial rink. It wasn't a pond. It wasn't, you know, they had a Zamboni that would go around and smooth it down. I didn't mind that, but when my friends would say, hey, let's get our skates on and go out to the lake and play ice hockey. I hated that. There were always grooves in the ice, and there were always bumps in the ice, and you'd hit one of the bumps with the puck, and it'd fly up and hit you in the head, or you'd hit the bump, and you'd fly up and hit your head on the ice. That happened a lot. I just didn't like skating on real water that had frozen. I'm sure that there are people that know how to do that and make it nice and smooth. Somebody used to, one of our buddies used to take warm water and throw it on the ice, which would smooth a certain section of it. But right where it stopped, where the warm water would stop, there was another groove that you'd hit. Pretty crazy. Now, if I were from Minnesota, I might know what I was doing, but I'm not from Minnesota. People in Indiana had no idea what to do when it got frozen out. We knew what to do when it snowed, though. In my area, we lived up towards Chicago, and we were 10 miles from Lake Michigan, and we were on the southeast side. So if we got wind out of the northwest, which was more common than you during the winter, it was pretty much the common wind out of the, well, it was always common out of the west, but during the summer it was out of the southwest, and during the winter it would slide up to the northwest. But we would get, I remember one day that we got 24 inches of snow in 2 or 3 hours. And it was just a lake effect snow. And it was beautiful. You couldn't drive anywhere, but it was beautiful. All right, where are we? What is an ice hockey puck made from? It's made from rubber. I think everybody knows that. It's awfully hard rubber. It's not soft like a... like a squeeze toy or anything. You get hit with one of those and ouch. As a matter of fact, there have been people that have been killed by being hit by the puck. As a matter of fact...
Hey, Charlie.
Oh,
did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Not bad information. I haven't had a stroke. I had a heart attack. 9 years ago, something like that. And I really didn't know what was going on. I drove myself to the hospital, and I walked into the emergency room, and I said, I'm feeling kind of weird around my shoulders and my upper body. And I probably didn't stand up for more than 30 more seconds, and I was already being shoved into a waiting room for the emergency room for me to get a stent or check on what was going on, and I eventually got a stent put in almost immediately. they don't fool around with things like that, so be very careful. And if you think that there's something wrong, assume that it is and go find out. All right, do yourself a favor, and especially as you get older. I'm 74, and that happened when I was 64, 65 maybe. Yeah, 64, 65, whatever it was. Anyway, do yourself a favor and do your family a favor, and check if you feel something funny that you haven't felt before. Mine felt like... have you ever gone out in sub-zero weather and taken a breath? That's kind of what mine felt like. The breath kind of stings as it goes down. That was kind of what mine felt like. Didn't feel, I didn't feel pain in the chest. I didn't feel pain radiating down my arm. It was just when I'd take a breath, it felt like I was sucking in icy air. And then, kind of weird. So don't mess around with it, all right? I want to have you here next week when we do this again. all right. The Scoville unit. Apparently, we don't have really awake audience today. The Scoville unit is the unit that measures spiciness, the heat. If you have, I don't know, 6,000 Scoville units, that's pretty hot. But I think the hot stuff gets up like 60,000 Scoville units, something like that. I used to love to go to bars and watch, you know, where they'd have the eating contest, and they'd have it was always some really tough looking guy, and he would say he could eat anything, and they'd give him those wings that had 60,000 Scoville units on it, and the what do they call it, ghost sauce, and they'd be tough, boy. They'd be tough. I never found out why people should admire people that can stand pain in their tummy. I just didn't understand that. I was never one to want to have. Now, I like spiciness, and I do like a little tingle, but I don't really find that proves you're a real man. And that's what they all think, I guess. Maybe when I was younger, I was that way. But as I grew up, I figured out that what really makes you a good, a real man is being a good human being. All right. Here we got a phone call. Let's see what we're going to talk about now. All right. Hello, you're on the air. This is, we're trying to find out what makes a real man. How can I help you?
Glenn?
Yeah, you got me.
Glenn, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Okay. If you can't hear me, let me have you call back in, because some reason or other we're not the phone's not working. Hold on. All right, call back in and give us a try, because the phone was not connecting. Maybe I did something really bad this morning. I hope not. Here he is. Let's see if we get it this time. All right, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Glenn.
All right, yeah. Good. I'm
sorry. I
called
you. You know, hot peppers, people don't understand this, but if you can eat a hot pepper a day, you know.
It's good for you, isn't it?
Huh?
It's good for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good for your blood.
Uh-huh.
It's good for your arteries. It's good for your colon.
Wow.
You don't have to eat the hottest ones, but... And you won't find that in many things, but it does help your arteries, you know,
wow.
And your blood.
Well, I usually eat some jalapeno every day, and it's not terribly hot, but I grow them in my garden. Would that be hot enough to help me?
Oh, yeah. Jalapenos is probably one of the favorites of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because most people can eat one or two or slices of them. You know,
yeah.
We take them and slice them thin.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been up there at your station before when Scott and you and...
Yeah,
Barry,
I recognize your voice.
I know you did. And I got a big garden, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we'll be sitting there drinking a beer, us guys, and we'll get talking about peppers. I bake these guys a little bit. And this is what I do. I set them up. The guy's talking, and I say, oh, yeah, peppers. I got hot peppers. And the guy will say, well, I can eat any hot pepper you got.
Yeah,
I
hear
you.
Yeah.
So I go pick a couple. You know, same kind. You take the little one or take the big one.
Yeah.
And then we'll see who can eat them. And it's fun to watch them, you know. I've had guys thought they were big and tough,
yeah.
Throw up, all kind of stuff. But I did that on purpose because I can eat the stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think people have different tolerances, don't they?
Yes, I'm not the greatest, I'm saying. But I know one guy here in Marion worked at the city at one time. Now, this guy could eat some hot stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it. I admired him because he could do it.
Well,
you know,
if it's too hot for you, I'm told that drinking milk does not help. I used to do that when I'd get something too hot. Do you know of any, is it water, or what can you do to calm down your mouth?
Well, I probably would be bread or something
bread.
Like that.
Bread, oh, but yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's really good for you, and a lot of people like seasoning. You know, sometimes
sure.
sometimes you can get it too hot. Like you said, them ghost peppers and habanero,
yeah.
some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point that it's unbearable about.
Yeah. Now, if you prepare your peppers, I'm pretty sure you know this. Wash your hands. Because,
oh, yes.
You don't
my
want
wife,
to get that in your
she
eyes.
She does them up. She wears gloves.
Yeah.
And one year she did a lot of them up. And when she got done, her hands stung for quite a while.
It got through the gloves?
Yes.
Holy
yes.
crud.
You know.
Wow.
But they're really good for you when you got talking about that Scoville
yeah.
units.
Yeah.
You know, hotness.
Yeah. Now,
every year they come out with something hotter.
Is the ghost one, which is the hottest one? Do you know?
Well, I think at one time it was ghost, but there's a couple other ones now, I think, surpassed that.
Okay. They hybridize them so they can burn the heck out of you, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the cayennes, they're long, slender ones.
Yeah.
They're pretty hot.
Are they?
Not too many people can eat cayenne peppers.
Yeah. Now, you can buy the cayenne powder. And it's
uh-huh.
not too bad. It adds some spice to it. But, yeah, I've been told you don't want to eat those raw.
I think on the drug thing, cayenne pepper, you mix it with water or something, and it's really good for you.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Instead of eating the pepper.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I bought some one time, and I just took a little pinch out in the thing, and then I put my finger in it and put it to my lips. Listen.
Yikes.
It's got some potent to it.
And from my, I only grow jalapeno, but I yep. can tell, I can take two different jalapenos off the same branch, and they both have different heat to them.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
well, you know, like on a pizza, I grow Hungarian sweets
uh-huh.
and Hungarian hots.
Yeah,
and you slice them, and they make a pizza look so pretty. The
yeah.
yellowness on them, and then the jalapenos, you put a little bit of that on, and it changes it. You know.
Yeah. Sounds you know, good. You're making my mouth water.
See, years ago, I owned a pizza shop, which you knew, but I owned it one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, in my sauce, I used to put the. I can't even think the word now. I was going to tell you, it's a spice. I can't think of it offhand.
That's all right. We all get old.
It really made that sauce different.
Yeah, yeah.
Got
to have a secret.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and giving us the information. I appreciate
that. Well, I'll probably call you on Swap Shop.
Okay.
Advertise some stuff.
All right. Excellent. We'll be waiting for your call. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Glenn. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the good information. I was... I've tried to like hotter and hotter peppers, but I don't. Jalapeno is about the level I will go to, and I really love jalapenos on things. But you have to be a little careful with those because, like, there's this taco place down in Athens, Taco John's. They're a national chain, but they offer little plastic things that you can put. Little tubs that you can put some jalapenos into and add them to whatever you're eating. Well, sometimes those are terrific, and other times, whoa, they've been sitting in their own sauce too long or something. Anyway, all right, well, now we know what the Scoville unit measures. It measures that spiciness. And let's see, we know what a hockey puck's made out of. Let's continue on and do another question here. Okay, this is really simple. If you don't know the answer to this, you shouldn't be in the United States. I'll give this one to you quickly. How many red stripes are there on the American flag? Now, you probably learned this. Now, I could see where you could get confused because there are red and white stripes, and it's not an even number. But how many red stripes are there? You ready? Okay. There are more red stripes than white stripes, and there are 13 total stripes. So there are 6 white stripes and 7 red stripes. Now, if you had civics classes like those of us who are over 60 had when we were in school, you would have known that answer. I guess we still have some schools that have civics classes, or they call it something different. I don't know what they're going to call it this year. They're going to call it stay at home with mom, I'm afraid. But anyway, there are 7 red stripes. And the reason why there's one more red than white, there's a red one at the top and a red one at the bottom. So, okay, where are we? Apple's CEO, Steve Jobs, was known, now he's passed away now, but he's known for wearing what color turtleneck? He did this all the time. Every time you would see, you know, he'd make a big announcement. The iPhone 5 was being introduced, and he came out on stage and got applause from all of his workers and everything like that. He always wore a black turtleneck. And he didn't need the black to slim him. Now, I wear black to make me look thinner. Doesn't work. But he just liked himself in black, and he always wore black turtlenecks, at least every time I ever saw him. All right. Ah, this is a good question. And I'm going to open this one up. I'd like people to think about this one. There is a three-word phrase on Martin Luther King's gravestone. What is that phrase? I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes, maybe even 5 minutes to answer this one. It's interesting, and it'll make you think. All right? Three-word phrase on Martin Luther King's gravestone. What is it? All right? We've got about, let's see how many seconds we have. Okay, we don't have very many seconds. So I'm going to let you think about that through the break, all right? What are the three words that are written on Martin Luther King's gravestone? Or at least, what is the three-word phrase, all right? And then we'll get back we'll have the rest of the show.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place.